Once again, I look forward to sharing the Lord's Word with you. And as we go through COVID-19 pandemic, and as we are not able to meet up with each other, I wonder how you are actually keeping. And I hope that one of the words that you can use to describe how you are bearing with all these things would be the word thanksgiving. Can we thank God through all the things that we go through? The Apostle Paul would say, yes. His words would be, we bless God. And you see this. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or in other epistles, he would say, we give thanks. In fact, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, he would say, we are bound to give thanks. And there are many reasons why we can and we should give thanks to God. And today's topic, today's text from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 20 to 22, will give us good reason as to why we can and we should give thanks to God. And our focus today is on the subject of the promises of God. The word promises is another way of describing the scriptures. Now, there are a number of terms that the writers use to describe the scriptures. For example, we read in Psalm 119 that it is called, one, the law of God, or simply the commandments of God, or the statutes, or the judgments, or the testimonies. In the epistle of Peter, you will see him using the word prophecies. Sometimes the Apostle Paul would say, this is the word of God. In this text particularly, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, he will use the word promises. I read for you this particular text in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. Now, it talks about the idea of the promises of God. Now, Paul expands and he says, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God. So there would be the promises of God. It is given. Then he would anoint the people who are his servants. And then we read in verse 22, who also has sealed us and given us the Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So when we talk about the promises of God, well, a number of things are actually revealed. The content of the scriptures, the nature of the scriptures would, after a while, become very, very obvious. Well, let's consider this word that we are looking at. Firstly, the idea of the promises of God. What is that all about? And the first idea is that of a promise. What is the word promise? Essentially, it is the word of God. It is a word from God. It is a word that tells us what he would do. And then it would be fulfilled just as God has said. For example, there is a promise that God would establish, and then he would go ahead and do it. He would promise also the Spirit of God, and he was then given as a seal and as a guarantee. So the promises of God are given to us. But we must bear in mind the idea first. It is a word of promise that will be fulfilled. Now, that to me is cause for thanksgiving. What is the idea of the promises of God if we look at it further? The promises of God are not what we think or what we imagine. The promises of God are actually found in His Word. On our part, we have to establish that these are indeed promises and not imagined things and not hope things that we hope would happen, but they are actually promises of God and that they would be fulfilled eventually. Well, when Bethany first began, what was that promise that was drawn upon? Well, Matthew 16 comes in mind, that the Lord Jesus Christ Himself would build the church. And He would build it so strongly that even the gates of Hades, translated the gates of hell, would not prevail against it. And that's all we had, the promise of God that He would build the church. Then there was also the promise of power in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. The Lord said that they would not have to do it on human power. And very frankly, as we look back nearly 47 years, there wasn't a whole lot of human power. There were only 25 of us. And yet there was the Lord's promise that He would build a church, that He would give His power. And then there was a promise that the Spirit of God would be there. 47 years later, we see those promises fully fulfilled. The church has grown, and now we span Australia, India, Myanmar, including our beloved Bethany. And what is it all about? But based upon the promises of God. And it is the Word of God that we study diligently and faithfully day after day, week after week, year after year. Why? Because the promises of God are things that we can believe in fully. We can hope in fully. And if that faith is there, it would be sufficient for all our needs. And thank God, truthfully, we can see how He has provided. His word is fulfilled again and again. That power is lent to us. He has fulfilled His promise that He will help us, He would deliver us, He would provide for us, and He has. And so Paul was right when he said that the promises of God are in Him, are in yes and amen. In other words, there is no question as to the certainty of the promises of God's word. When God says something regarding the church, regarding the Spirit of God, regarding the Word of God, we can be very sure they are yea and amen. And God will fulfill what He has promised. And this is an important thing to take note of. And so as we take a look at the promises of God, we are just absolutely encouraged and thrilled by what Paul believed in and wrote about. And as we think about the promises of God, we must learn that the promises of God reveal to us much about God Himself. Right? Firstly, obviously, He stands committed to the very word that He has given to us. There is a definite consistency about God fulfilling His word. You see this in the Old Testament, in the days of Abraham, to Moses, to all the prophets, to the New Testament, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to the apostles, and even to us today. His commitment, the consistency, would tell us this is what God is all about. He is a faithful God, and He is powerful in every sense of the word. And this is why we have every reason to say, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is right for us, absolutely correct, to say, thanks be to God. Now, as we think about the promises of God, we have to ask ourselves, what about the promises of God in times of tribulation? Are there people who suffer? Yes. Are there people in pain? Yes. Are there people who even die? And of course, the answer, sadly, is yes. Does that make void the promise of God for comfort and for consolation? And the answer would be no. It is important for us to understand, what is the promise of God? Paul reminds us that the promise of God is that we will be comforted. And who is the one who comforts us? Paul called him the God of all comfort. And it is God who comforts us in all our tribulation. And this is true. Whether we suffer from coughs and cold, whether we suffer from fever, whether we suffer from backaches and pains, the challenge is to be able to find what God has said to be true. He has promised to be the God of all comfort. And you know, He can be. He is the God of all comfort in more ways than one. And the challenge for us is to find that these promises are actually true. There was a promise that His comfort would abound. Would the comfort abound even though there may be pain? Yes, comfort does not eradicate pain. But pain is far more bearable when the comfort of God is found. So the idea of comfort must not help us to think that there will be no illnesses, there will be no difficulties, but that amidst difficulties, the comfort and the consolation of God would be found. And what else would it do? It would be effective for consolation and salvation. And this is a wonderful word to take note of. Has it been effective? The answer is it can be. It will be if we place our faith and our trust in God. Paul experienced the reality that God has delivered. And he based on that, he would say that God would deliver and continue to deliver. And so the promises of God reveal to us what God is like. He will keep His word. And this is absolutely wonderful. And today, as we take a look more closely at the text here, verse 21, Paul wrote, "He who establishes us with you is Christ, in Christ, and has anointed us is God." Now, here is a promise of establishing. As we look back nearly 47 years, we can be very sure that God can establish our faith, our life, our church, in fact, our churches. And it is wonderful to note that God has given such a wonderful promise of establishing us. Sometimes we fear that our faith is not well established. Sometimes we fear that we may falter, we will stumble, maybe we will just fall away. But here is a wonderful promise that God will establish us. And it was based upon these promises that Bethany began to build and has continued to build all these years. On what basis? Simply on the basis of the Lord's promise that He will establish. Now, let's take a look more closely, first and foremost, what is it that is being established? Paul wrote, "He who establishes us with you in Christ." You see, we are established in Christ. And we can be established in Christ as the rock, as the anchor of our faith. In every sense of the word, the person who promised to establish us is actually God Himself. Now, the word established, when we first start up, we are not quite sure whether we will actually succeed or whether we will fail. Don't let doubts come in. Don't let unbelief come in. Trust in God's promises that He will establish. Now, He does not say that we will not go through tribulation or that we will not go through difficulties, but that in the end of it all, He will establish. This is a promise, and you know what? It will be fulfilled. It will be done just as He has promised. Now, how does God go about us establishing us to fulfill this promise? So Paul took a look very carefully, and he looked at a number of things. Now, when Paul was first saved, when he first came to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who would know that he would be actually established as an apostle? Nobody. In fact, for a few years, people wondered whether Paul was even truly saved. Nobody believed him. That was how bad his past really was. But the Lord's promise was that He would establish. And guess what? He did. Now, there are a few things that we can be very sure about that will help us to be very secure in our faith and our belief that God will establish. Firstly, the idea of anointing. When somebody is anointed in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God will come upon that person. He will have a changed heart. He will have a changed mindset. And he will be given the special power of God. It is actually not different in the New Testament. So God will give to us His Spirit too. And He has indeed given us His Spirit. Now that Spirit is called a guarantee. That Spirit is also called a seal. And when we look at how God will anoint the person who is chosen to be a servant of God, it will be clearly seen how that person will be established. And so when we start out fresh from whatever we are starting in, there will be times when there may be doubts, there may be challenges, there will be moments of unbelief, and we will be faltering. Let's say we go through these difficult times, and businesses are failing. We're not sure whether people will lose a job. Maybe there are difficulties, there are challenges ahead. And, you know, there are lots and lots of challenges ahead of us. What is our hope? What is our thought concerning the future? Paul suggests to us that we rely on the promises of God. They are amen, they are yes. And when God says He will establish, then He will establish. And our part is to exercise our faith and trust in God that He would indeed establish us. And this is important for us. It is based upon this idea of the promises of God that we have dared to go forward in building Bethany 1. That was fairly easy. Bethany 2 was very much more challenging. Bethany 3 was just as challenging because we are talking about involvement of millions of dollars. And then we're talking about expanding our church's ministry. And then it is going out to other countries and helping other people as well. You know, all these things, we have no real guarantee, humanly speaking, that they will actually succeed. What is the basis for our faith in the Lord? Simply the promises of God, as Paul has used the term, the promises of God. And being the promises of God being amen and yes, we can be very, very certain that the Word of God, the commandments of God, all that God has said, they will actually be fulfilled. Now,
As we ponder the idea of the promises of God, we must ask ourselves, how would this affect us personally? How would this affect us in our ministry? And this is important for us. So at Bethany, we have made the promises of the promises of God, we call it the Word of God, central in our ministry. And so Sunday school, central is the teaching of God's Word. In our fellowship groups, the centrality of it all is the Word of God. In our worship services on Sunday, obviously, it is the Word of God. In all the things we attempt to share with people, whether it is the ICAB reading or the special pastoral letter or the daily readings that we have, everything is focused on the Word of God. So the Word of God is literally our center. The Word of God is also very, very, very much our content. It is also our control. Right? So the Word of God affects us in every sense of the word. And as we focus on teaching, working on the Word of God, communicating it, what is our focus? Our focus is not the pastor. Our focus is not on the teams who are working very hard. We thank God for everyone. But our focus is really on the Word of God and the person behind that word. It is God Himself who anoints. It is God Himself who establishes. It is God Himself who is fully committed to blessing His word, making it fulfilled. And it's exciting, and we cannot help but give thanks to God that He is so personally involved in the ministry of the Word of God. Right? And if we are focused on His word and His work, we can be very, very sure that we will also be blessed with His presence and with His power. Now, as we focus on the promises of God, the question is, how does that affect our life personally? Well, we have an example of the Apostle Paul over here. And so he said that this is how he planned his ministry. Verse 17, when I was planning this, see, it affected his plans. Did I do it lightly? The things I plan, do I plan according to the flesh so that there could be yes and no? The Word of God, the power, the significance of the Word of God actually affected the way Paul planned all his ministries. And what was that all about? Paul was saying that as far as planning was concerned, it was word-centered, it was word-affected. And he tried as best he could to make sure that his plans were consistent and reliable. But of course, there will be times when he cannot fulfill that work. But it does not mean those plans were wishy-washy. No, it just simply means that there are times when the will of God is a little bit different. So Paul wanted to visit Corinth. But for some reasons, he was not able to. Travel conditions were not good. He was caught up in other ministries, so that he could not come to Corinth as he had hoped and as he had planned. So sometimes the best laid plans can be affected, and that adversely. But it does not mean that he was not careful about his planning. The very study of the idea of the promises of God helped Paul in the way he planned his life and the way he planned his ministries. But he is not God. So there will be times when those plans may not turn out as he had hoped or as he had planned. But deep down, intention-wise, Paul was very sure that the word of God affected the way he planned things. So as much as it was in him, when he said something, he would seek to fulfill it. Unless he was in prison, unless there were duties of God that called him away, otherwise he would fulfill all that he has promised to fulfill. So when we study about the promises of God, it is vital that we understand that if we believe in the promises of God, it should affect the way we live. It should affect the way we plan. So much so that our word becomes our bond. And what we have planned to do, we will try with all our might to be faithful and true to the plans that we have considered and prayed about. So what is the challenge of it all for us as we study this subject on the promises of God? Obviously, there must be things that will challenge us to consider very carefully. The first must be that we have a deeper knowledge of God's word. Now, here's how you can do things practically. Begin with a simple promise of God. Memorize that promise of God. Make it something you believe in with all your heart. Begin somewhere, sometime. Begin now. It could be something that you want to pray about, that you want to make the Word of God central in your life. Right? Begin with someone, if you wish. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of the sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, and in his law he delights himself. He meditates upon it day and night. So his delight, his meditation is on the word of God. And you want to be that man who is blessed. Can it happen? Yes. But it begins with a deeper knowledge of God's word. Secondly, it goes on to having a stronger faith in God's word. Memorize the Lord's word. Don't give up if you cannot remember, if you cannot recall immediately. Go through it, go over it again and again. Once a week, twice a week, seven times a week. More times if necessary. But with every time you try, put in a stronger faith in God's word. Now that is going to help. Right? Thirdly, watch. Watch for the greater impact of God's word on your life. Not your intention, not your determination, not your desire, just simply the word of God. Someone tells us that we can be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And our roots would be deep, and we can become strong, and we can be fruitful. And we can be fruitful for a long, long time. The impact of God's word is such. So that we begin with the promises of God. And as you learn how to dwell upon God's word like that, you will find yourself having a greater love for the promises of God's word. And soon you will add to that one verse. You'll add another verse. And yet another. Until the word of God, the promises of God become central in your life. And they will really become a tremendous source of power and blessing to your life and to your ministry. The promises of God were the things that Paul fell back on in his life, personal, in his ministry, became far and wide, a ministry that saw him go through tribulation one after another. And yet Paul was faithful and fruitful to the very end. What was anchor to his life and ministry? What was the real reason for him to be as blessed as he was? In short, it simply is the word of God. The promises of God became everything to the Apostle Paul. And if we let that happen to our own lives, we will see our lives blessed in wonderful ways too. May our challenge be to believe in the promises of God, to know those promises well, and to live by them. May God bless us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the wonderful Word of God, the many promises therein. We pray for a greater understanding, a greater love for your Word, and a greater faith to believe that your Word would be fulfilled. So we pray for your blessings on all of us. Help us to love you more and to learn how to believe and trust in your Word fully. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen.